Norm, how are you?
Hey, it's Mark Gaffney.
Or excuse me, Mark. I don't know why I'm thinking Norm Gaffney. I had him on, but Mark, please forgive me. How are you this morning?
Oh, we're good. We had a great rally yesterday. We're feeling like we made our voice heard. And the next question is, will any of the legislators listen?
Well, you brought in a lot of folks, from what I understand, almost 4,500 people. Do you think the legislators listen to you, Mark, when you're outside like that?
Well, first of all, one of the speakers from the podium used that 4,500 number. We've done this four times now, and I can tell you it was much closer to 10,000. We were there from noon until 6:30. We actually had two presentations, two times when speakers spoke, so we could make sure we got the second shift workers and teachers coming at the end of their teaching day as well. So it was the biggest rally of the year so far.
Do you think that legislators listen?
I think that they notice. Sometimes it makes them act with less transparency, and they tend to run their bills faster when they know that we're in town. So I know it makes a difference to them. Now, it's always a pull and a tug, and frankly, they have to participate, I would say, better in this legislative representative process and listen more. That's our point. That's why we have to keep coming and having these rallies, because we don't feel that the majority party, the Republicans, especially the conservative Republicans, are spending enough time with their constituents, be them union workers or parents at schools, or people in cities that could be taken over by a financial manager.
Mark, according to a story written by Tim Martin from the Associated Press, Republicans who control the state legislature yesterday took a key step toward requiring public employees in Michigan to pay at least 20% of their health insurance premiums. What do you think about that?
Well, look, the precedent of the legislature sticking its nose into collective bargaining and throwing out a key component of every negotiation's health care costs, health care reform, the health care that people have for their families, it's a bad idea to begin with. But if they're going to do it, and this is what we've told a couple of the senators who do listen to us, if you're going to do it, for goodness sake, you've at least got to do it in a fair and an equitable manner. For example, we've got plenty of employees out there already paying 10-15% of their health care. The average across the state, by the way, is 9%. People say, oh, public sector employees don't pay anything toward their health care. Absolutely untrue. The average is 9%. So what we're saying to the Republicans in the Senate, which is where the bill is starting, what about that? What about the 9%? What about the 15% that somebody's paying? If you want to charge them 20, do they get credit for the 9? Do they get credit for the 15? There's a difference here between smacking public sector workers ideologically because it fits in their political profile, in the Republicans' political profile, or saying, look, let's talk about how to save some money on health care because it's a big problem for everybody. Nobody knows better how to save money on health care than those workers and their representatives who have been through the negotiations. So, you know, we'll see if the bill rolls through and says everybody has to pay 20%, period, simple, and then you know it's an assault. If they're willing to amend the bill and say, let's work with you because you know how to save health care costs, then you'll know it's a real attempt to save some money.
You're listening to the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com worldwide via the Internet. Mark Gaffney is the Michigan AFL-CIO president. We're talking with Mark live. Mark, we've talked about this before. Do you think that the union workers, that state workers, that teachers are being asked to pick up too much of the deficit that the governor is trying to cut? Do you believe that business is paying their fair share? Do you believe that the rich are paying their fair share?
Look, there's a $1.5 billion deficit in the state that the governor and the Republicans' budget proposal aims to make much worse, almost double, so that they can give at least 60% tax break to corporations. Some people have measured it into the 80%. So, no, we do not agree with that. We stand ready, state employees, all public sector employees, we stand ready to help with the deficit. But we don't think you ought to be cutting funding to schools in order to give tax breaks to businesses. Does not make sense.
Do these businesses who provide jobs and benefits for workers deserve a little leeway?
They deserve a review and a refix of the Michigan business tax and the surcharge that everybody's been complaining about since it was passed, by the way, with businesses' help. But it didn't work out the way they wanted it to. Of course, we need to simplify the tax code, but not a 60% tax break, for example, on the backs of the poor people. The governor and the legislature wants to take away the earned income tax credit from working poor people. $400-$600 a year they get back because they don't make much money. Well, that would disappear under this budget, and that money would be given to businesses for a tax cut. That's not the Michigan we want.
What do you think can be done to find the revenues without taking so much away from these public sector workers?
Well, I agree with the phrase shared sacrifice, and we've got to make sure that that is done. Everybody has to pay their fair share, including the wealthy and including businesses. Look, the share of corporate taxes being paid in this country has dropped almost every year for the last three decades. General Electric, we now have a poster child here, $5 billion in profits in America last year, paid no taxes. So that kind of stuff has got to end.
Mark, before I let you go, there seems to be information that support both sides of the story when it comes to talking about the private sector and the public sector. Pay for both, benefits for both, retirement for both. Who's telling the truth?
Well, I'm glad you asked the guy, for example, who represents both kind of workers in our AFL-CIO Federation, okay? And I can tell you, here's what our, and we've looked at this a lot, of course. This debate matters a great deal to us. When public sector workers have a college diploma that's necessary for their job, they make less than the private sector. They make less than the private sector. So if you compare average public sector wages with average wages of all private sector, then the private sector comes in behind. Why? Because you added all the hamburger flippers, all the low-wage jobs. When you compare the public job with the same job in the private sector, the public employee is behind. Not a great deal, but somewhat. And so that's how you know this whole argument about public sector workers is politically motivated. It's part of politics, and people need to see that.
When I see a think tank like the Mackinac Center for Public Policy publish information contrary to that, it makes me wonder whose information is most accurate. Because according to them, the folks that you represent, and let's take the private sector jobs outside of that, that they make more, that they have better benefits.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, you need to know who funds and backs the Mackinac Center. On that list are the Koch brothers, the same people that are actively trying to take over the state of Wisconsin. And I would certainly list the Mackinac Center as part of a political, and I would say right-wing assault on progressive politics, on Democrats, on unions, because for them it's a struggle for influence.
Mark, you're always so gracious with your time. We appreciate the opportunity to chat with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.